At Vodafone Business, we've seen incredible resilience shine through Irish businesses, and we know that we can. We can find new ways of doing things. We can work smarter, not harder. We can connect wherever we are. We can take business to the next level with Vodafone technology across broadband, mobile, and cloud solutions. Search Vodafone Business to find out more. Together, we can.
Welcome to the Mailroom, exploring the secret lives of men. My name's Nick Reinberger.
And my name's William Verity.
Today, part two of Men and Sex. And this is men and men
and sex.
Not just because there's two men in this room talking to you, but William, you've gone into a really interesting secret, secret place.
I think we should say, as if it's not obvious enough, that, as they say in This American Life, this podcast does mention the reality of sex or the existence of sex. So if you're...
Acknowledges the existence of sex, I think is the way Ira delicately puts it.
Yeah, so if you're easily shocked or if you're with children in the car, you might want to choose to listen to it privately. Although it's not crude, but it is sexy. Mm. So, what have we got today? Today, this was really such an interesting one to do. So, this is Australia's busiest gay sauna. So, this is a place where men go to have sex. Men go to have to relax. I mean, it's a sauna, so there's a spa and there's a sauna. And
is the sauna just an excuse, or do people use it as a sauna?
No, I don't think anyone uses it as a sauna. I mean, you know, there's gay porn playing on multiple screens all over the place. It's not.
You may find this a strange thing, but I when listening to this, I thought of it in the same way as my friend and I, Chris in Western Australia, used to think of golf. We were both not very good golf players, and yet we would get up at 6 a.m. and play golf before work. But golf was just an excuse, you know. It was because we wanted to chat. And it gave us permission to talk while we walked and whack this stupid ball into the hole. And it's funny how you need an excuse sometimes as a man to talk, you know, other thing. And maybe
so
the
can I fuck
the
you
thing.
And then we'll have a conversation afterwards? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think it's the other way around, actually. The conversation is an excuse that leads to sex, isn't it? I mean, sex is such a powerful motivator for us. I mean, as I'm getting older, we're both around the age of 50 here. That's giving something away. I mean, I have noticed that the testosterone levels are slowly coming down. And actually, you'll hear in this interview with Ty, who is the lovely founder of this gay sauna. Without giving too much away, and we'll talk more about this afterwards, but really, sure, this is about sex. It's about men sucking, fucking, masturbating, everything you can imagine, wrestling, tying each other up, all of that kind of stuff obviously is there. But actually, the kick that I got from that was the kick I was expecting, but the kick I actually got from this is that Ty is really the absolute opposite of him. He's a gay man, but he's the absolute opposite of the kind of the sleaze bag that you would expect from a sort of pimp kind of figure.
No, he seems like a really great host. He's good humoured and...
But more than that, he's not driven by sex or getting in any way. He's driven by a sense of value. And the big thing that you will hear from this is it's a place for everybody. And he says, rather provocatively at one stage, and this is the last thing I'm going to say because I want him to say it. He says, rather provocatively, for the life of me, I cannot imagine why anyone would have any judgment about going in, having some sex, coming out. It's just like going into a hardware store or whatever, or having a Thai massage or whatever. You go in, you have your needs met, you have a bit of fun, you come out, life goes on. What is the big deal there? I have to say, I have a lot of sympathy with that.
Well, let's hear it from his mouth. This is straight, English, white, Mr. William Verity in Australia's biggest gay sauna.
Because this happened to me maybe 12 years ago. My partner and I came into work and we had a water leak somewhere or something. And we're walking through level two and there was a man probably in his 70s wearing a Zorro mask who was masturbating. And he went, morning. And we went, good morning. And we continued on what we were doing. And about 3 minutes later, we looked at each other and we thought, oh, we didn't even notice that guy. I think it was that moment that we both realised that what we do has become so totally normal for us that a 70-year-old man masturbating in a Zorro mask is no more unusual than an accountant having to, you know, sit down at his desk and turn the page over on his book. So for us, it's just a very, very normal part of business. And I asked a client of mine just last month who's in his 80s, I said, look, who do you go for? And he goes, well, he said, I don't mind who I have sex with because everyone's younger and more handsome than me. My friend who's a builder, he was here a night before Christmas cutting glory holes in a wall, and his wife rang up and I answered the phone and she goes, can you please send my husband home? I'm sick of him cutting out your cock holes instead of being with the family, you know? So that's the way everyone talks to me. To them, it's just not unusual either anymore, I don't think.
So it's a rich vein of comedy, really, isn't it? I mean, it'd be great to do a little TV sitcom here.
Yes, I probably would. It would just depend on how honest I could be.
I think it'd be pay TV, though.
There's 100 amazing stories, but all of them are really very difficult for me to work out if I could even tell just one. Yeah, look, we have a motto in here, what happens at 357 stays at 357, and I'm trying to be as open as I can with you and in showing you our world here, and it is a different world. You walk past this building on Sussex Street and it's just like any other building. You wouldn't even glance at it. There's no signage out the front except for 357. You wouldn't know what goes on up here, but if you stand across the road and look up, you'll see blacked out windows, and there's four levels of blacked out windows, and so people come in here and then they leave, and whatever they do in here, they do, and they go back to their lives.
All right, so the wet area. So we're standing here in a sort of reasonably large-sized room with some stairs going up at one side, and there's a door leading to showers and toilets. There's a couple of basins. There's the door that leads, I guess, to the dry sauna over there, wooden door, and then there's a spa with a couple of guys in it. So tell us about this place.
Okay, so what we do is we have 10 showers. We have 6 open showers and 4 private showers. Not everybody wants to shower out in the open. Some people are a little bit more embarrassed to do that. So we have provided them with their own private showers, which is just like at home. You can close the door and shower in privacy. So here you have a shower, and from here on you've got use of the whole venue. We always push everyone to shower before they leave and go into any of the other areas of the venue. So here you can have a dry sauna, you can have a wet steam, you can have a spa. This dry sauna is very large and seats 25 people, and it also plays movies through a double-plated window. The steam room has little cubicles inside it and its own private shower. And all this area is also running along with everything else basically 20 hours a day. It's a live camera room. So here you're able to turn on a screen which then interacts with a screen on another floor. So if people would like to get watched while they're having fun together, they can get watched by somebody else who's in another room. You can watch each other, or they can just sit and watch you. Each room has something different. There's a lot of niches here. We have wrestling rooms, we have bondage areas, we have all types of different beds and different heights, and every room is quite different.
I'd love to go and see the bondage areas.
I'll take you through. Yes, I will. So we're now still currently to level two. What we've done is we've left the wet areas and the locker area, and we've gone upstairs. So levels 2 and 3 are strictly for cruising. They're sex areas. And each one of these rooms you'll find something totally different in, and different mattresses for different configurations and what you're looking for to do with this person. In this room we have a floor mattress, and we have shackles where you can, and an area where you can stand up and have, you know, you're restrained in this area. And this is all consensual, of course.
All right, so there's a sort of a metal lattice with shackles attached, as well as every room has the lubricant and the condoms, and then a little waste basket to put the used ones in, I guess. All right, okay, what else have we got?
Okay. These are higher beds, and through this wall here, there's what we call glory holes, which means that you can put your penis through these holes, and someone can can give you oral sex on the other side through the other wall. So even though you can see the person, they can't get to you, they can only get to your penis. We have tight condoms, we have medium condoms, we have large, and we have extra large. And what's changed in the last couple of years, which is quite interesting for me, is that I think younger people are getting larger penises. So we've had to, the condom companies, I think, are going up a little bit in size to accommodate the younger people now, because penises are bigger than what they used to be, maybe from the growth hormones or whatever they put in our foods, I don't know. This area and where I'm about to take you is called a suckatorium, which is very, very popular, particularly for the married and bisexual men. During the day, we'll get 200 to 250 people in a four-hour period, and they'll just come down from the office, they'll come in for 15 or 20 minutes, they'll have a shower, they'll have oral sex, and they'll leave and go back to the office. We mainly think that they probably don't identify as being gay men, but so they just come in, they may have wives, children, they're family people, and they just come in and they don't actually want to go into a room with somebody, they just want to have oral sex and go back to work.
So a mouth is a mouth.
That's exactly right. This is our suckatorium area. There's 18 cubicles here, very hard to describe, but it's over two levels. So the person goes up three stairs and walks into a little cubicle and watches a movie, and there's a hole, and they put their penis through. Downstairs, the person can give that person oral sex without having to crouch down. They can stand up.
Okay, so it's sort of the givers and the receivers. The receivers are up top and the givers are down below. I would imagine receiving is more pleasurable than giving, isn't it?
I think that giving would actually be more popular than receiving in this area. Yeah, so, and it's very well, the way you've described it is actually very, very well said, William. I couldn't have said it better, to be perfectly honest, and I designed this area, so.
All right, so there's actually a queue of guys who would like to give other guys blowjobs.
Correct, and there's less people upstairs than downstairs, so the people that are upstairs are usually quite popular, yeah.
Stream a summer of real-life stories with the Now Entertainment membership. Explore the criminal underworld of the Liverpool Narcos.
Welcome to Liverpool.
Uncover the truth of Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's shadow.
It was very cold.
And stream Murder at the Cottage. Join in with your 7-day free trial now. 18 plus, content streamed via internet. Terms apply.
I think as I was getting older, I started getting worried about where I could feel welcome, because I didn't feel that comfortable in Oxford Street. And I wanted something where older people were revered and looked up to, and I also wanted people to go to a sex venue without being made to feel guilty by the people at the door looking up and down at them. Or I just couldn't see why people needed to feel guilty about going to a sex club. What is that about? Like, why can't this be an easy place to walk in and out of, just like going into a shop, basically? And I just, that's what I tried to develop. And that's what.
Do you need me to explain that to you?
I just can't see any big deal about coming in, having sex, and getting on with your day. I just don't see any problem with that whatsoever. And I know we keep a lot of relationships together, because whatever it is that you might want to do, whatever your fantasy is, you can't generally do that with your partner. You just can't. It wouldn't work. And that's what I love about a sauna. When you leave your stuff in the locker and you put your towel on, everyone's equal. Everyone's the same. And it doesn't matter if you're a multimillionaire or a corporate giant, you know, or if you're a simple guy that lives on the Central Coast, everyone is accepted here and everyone's equal and everyone's the same. And when you're in a towel cruising around, it's very important that everyone understands that everyone has a type. So I have a guy that works for me. He's in his early 30s. He's muscly and very, very, you know, handsome, so to speak. And I asked him once, I said, look, what turns you on? You know, like, who really turns you on? He goes, if a pensioner comes in and shakes the coins in their pocket and they've got long white socks and a pension card, I have a heart on. So that's the sort of person that person turns on. It's very important that everyone realises that people have types, but I want to everyone to understand that it's not just about, you know, handsome people having fun with handsome people. Everyone has a type, and it's very reassuring to know that even if you're in your 70s and 80s, that someone is still going to find you attractive. I had a man come to the window. He was 67 years old, and he told me that he'd tried for a year to come up the stairs, and he'd got halfway up the landing, and he turned around and run down again. And he eventually made it up to the top. And when he walked up to the window, I smiled at him and he was in tears. And I go, are you okay? And he goes, I know I'm in the right place because you smiled. He'd waited his whole life to come to a venue like this because he never thought he'd be welcome as a 67-year-old man. That's all we're about. That's what's important to me. This one's quite unusual. The walls are padded. It's a prison type of gyprock where you can't smash holes in it. We've done that in a very, very high quality gyprock, because when we first opened, we kept getting holes in all the walls, so we had to change all the walls around. And this is the resting room for the guys that actually want to throw themselves around in a room in here. So they lock the door up and they do that, and they can't go through the walls. Even big guys like me can't throw themselves through the wall.
So now this is new to me. So just explain to me what this would be. So it's two guys basically
wrestling. They're wrestling. That's basically it. The guys that are into wrestling. So they might wrestle for 40 minutes or an hour before they even have sex. Like, they wrestle and try to resist each other until they too tired to resist each other, and then they have sex from that way.
Coming back to the question which you artfully dodged, so I want to hear about your sex life. You are surrounded by sex. You're surrounded by the smell of sex. You're surrounded by the desire of sex. You're surrounded by the images of sex.
William, I'm 53 years old. If you'd asked me that 20 years ago, probably a little bit more excitement. After doing this for this long, not that exciting. Look, I'm in an open relationship. I'm allowed to have fun if I want to, but I just generally don't. You know.
What does it do to your sex drive, though? I could imagine that it might actually blunt it. You might just think, oh.
It does. And it's like anything. Whatever you do, it'd be like you going home and interviewing your partner. When you get home, William, it's the same. So for me, sometimes sex is almost like continuing my job. And I don't feel like doing that. And like, I find of all things, when I go on holidays, as the owner of Australia's busiest sex venue, I go to a place like Kalburra Beach on the south coast with my dog and just relax and listen to the ocean for a week, because I need to get that break from the music, the break from the sex, the break from the community. I think people just think we just stay up here and basically have sex 24 hours a day. And what I think is so ironic about that is it's just so opposite to that. It's so opposite. Now from here, we're going to go into this is what we call the dark room, and this is for people that actually want to have sex. All of these venues everywhere in the world, every single venue has one thing in common. They all have what we call a black room. And we have a black room with a round circular bed with just enough light coming out from under the bed so you can make each other's shadows out, but you can't actually see much more than that with the person that you're having fun with. And that's an integral part of sex in these venues. A lot of people just want to come in and anonymously have sex in the dark and not actually see the person that they're with. And as hard as that is for people to understand, this has been happening in gay clubs for basically the whole history of our venues.
But also without sight, your senses are heightened, aren't they? So actually it might be much more than just anonymity.
Yeah, that's correct. And there's a myth that, only the older guys go into the dark room or something because they don't want to be seen. I generally think that's wrong. I find that a lot of young guys want to come in and just get touched by a whole lot of people all at once, because that's what it's about. They're standing in there and there's many, many hands touching people, touching you, and you don't know who's touching you. And that person can be whoever you want to imagine that person is.
Okay, let's go. You are surrounded by, erect penises and anal sex, among other things. Surely that inhabits your mind while you're having breakfast.
It does, and I won't lie. Look, when we do a phone party every Sunday, we fill up our area with foam. And that's very sexy. And I see a lot of the guys walk into the foam and then they come out erect, and I see that. So you see maybe 200 or 300 erect penises on the ship. And sometimes I, like anyone else, may get horny, but it doesn't happen that often. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. There has to be a place like this, and if there isn't, you can't take your family to a park or to a toilet block, because you just don't know where people are going to be having sex. There has to be a safe place for people to meet, and the places that have the worst reputation for rapes and disregard to other people are places which don't have countries and places that don't have a place like 357. There has to be a place for people to go to fulfil their fantasy or to have that release. It's very important. It's the oldest profession in the world, isn't it?
So that was Ty Dovins is his name, and he's the owner of 357 in Sydney. So it's 357 Sussex Street. You can go on the website. It's a pretty amazing website if you want to check it out. Mm. So what do you think, Nick? Are you going to be going?
Well, strictly for journalistic purposes, I would love to. I think that's... I'm envious of you going there and being there. I mean, this is classic storytelling with a fish out of water. The person that is agog at everything that's around him and the stories that surround him. And this is a wonderful, totally alien kind of experience for me, as it was for you.
Well, it is a whole world, and I love going into these worlds. I love places where rules are transgressed. You know, I love the fact that on the beach, you know, you can dress or undress in ways that would get you arrested 100 metres away. But on the beach, like, I haven't been for a long time. I used to go to nude beaches. I love the idea of just getting my kecks off, clothes for you Americans listening. So getting my clothes off on a beach and that the transgression of, like, you would never, I mean, if you did that anywhere else, you would get arrested and it'd be shame and humiliation. But on nudist beaches, it's what is done. And I love that about this place too. It's a place where, you know, it's not to everyone's tastes, obviously, and that's okay. If it's not to your taste, you walk on by. It doesn't advertise itself, doesn't need to. One of the things I found really interesting about that is when he was saying that there are people who live there. Because it has that the top floor with a sort of cafe and computers, and it's a, you know, hangout kind of place, and you can obviously sleep there. I mean, you just go into a room and lock the door. So there are people for whom that is home. In a city, sauna, sex, free tea and coffee, free internet access, $20 a day. Unbeatable.
Really?
And you get a pass out. So if you want to go out and get something to eat, you know, at the local, it's in Chinatown. So you go and get...
That's a community service and a half.
Yeah. And he sort of overlooks that. I mean, I don't think, strictly speaking, I'm not sure that's part of his planning conditions. But, you know, how are you going to enforce it? And he's kind of okay with that. You know, they're not very many of them and they keep themselves to themselves, so... The wonderful world of men and sex. I once was speaking to a Christian woman, and we were talking about how people undo themselves, really, and it's mostly men here. And she said, look, it's always either money or sex. These Christian men who have these strong beliefs, and it's money or sex. Those are the two things which undo us as men. Mm. I don't have any great lust for money, and I don't, I hope you don't, Nick, because otherwise you're not leading much of a life. but you know, I can't say that about sex. You know, I wouldn't be a man.
This is the DNA, and this is true of every animal, certainly every mammal. This is the major part of the DNA, that the selfish gene wants to reproduce itself.
Well, in those times,
we put this veneer of respectability and civilization on the top of it.
But we put very, very, for very good reason, we put hard and fast rules like you will not have non-consensual sex, you will not have sex with children.
Most of these things come from the genes, and incest certainly is one of those that is a strong ethical taboo, but it's also, if you look at it, a simple genetic taboo as well, that you don't have any, you know, urge to do that, or you shouldn't, which is why we look so...
Well, but the fact that, as an anthropologist, that's one of the very few things that every culture in the world has an incest taboo.
Mm.
And what I find interesting about that is that it's necessary to be there at all. So there's clearly... Our male sexuality is so rampant, so barely within our control often, that you need a taboo for that kind of thing, in the same way that you need, absolutely and quite rightly, you need a taboo against non-consensual sex and against sex with children. And the reason that pedophilia, that line with pedophilia is so, in some ways, so hysterically policed. I mean, the pedophiles are the lowest scum of the earth in our society.
Oh, and never to be released, according to, once they're caught and in jail.
Right, yeah. And yet, actually... I mean, it's a pretty loathsome conversation to have. But if I had to choose between my children coming across a pedophile and coming across a drunk driver, you'd have to go for the pedophile, because at least there's survival after that, or some kind of murderer. And yet there isn't the same kind of... Drunk driving is bad, we all know that. Murdering is bad, we all know that. But murderers are not actually the lowest of the low. And the reason that pedophiles are the lowest of the low is because we need to enforce that restraint on our sexuality in a way that is so powerful that the overwhelming majority of us absolutely don't go there, and quite rightly so.
We need to spell out, you know, the ethical dimension of what is, you know, in the genes. My golly, we've turned into an ethics podcast all of a sudden.
No, we thought it was about sex and fun, and now it's gone all heavy and ethical.
Sorry, if you were turned on about 2 minutes ago, you can now put your trousers back on. That's it for us for this particular episode of The Mail Room.
What have we got next? What have we got next?
Well, we're going off to something that was overwhelmingly a male domain, but is now, again, rightly so, something that lots of humans do, and that is act as an emergency responder or a first responder. That's really an American phrase, which I quite like, as it happens, because it encompasses police and ambulance and fire and the military in some aspects. But we are looking at men in some of these professions, and you have an amazing, amazing story to tell.
Oh, look, this next one. I know it's such a cliche to sort of get you to download the next one so that we can get rich and famous, but really, you will not be disappointed. The next one's going to be called A Boy in the Pipe.
Don't do it for us. Do it for you, because it is a remarkable story.
It is one of the most extraordinary stories I have ever heard and told so powerfully. My 9-year-old, now 10-year-old, is still traumatized by this story of just my retelling of it. I'm actually banned from any mention of it at all, because he finds it so upsetting.
Really? And has he heard the...
He hasn't heard the... No, I'm
because
not
with
to him.
With the sound effects and the music, it is even more spine-chilling, I have to tell you.
No, it's a very powerful story, and we'll talk about why it is such a powerful story after we hear it.
The Boy in the Pipe, next time. I hope you can download it. So please go to iTunes and rate us and subscribe to us. You can also say hello on Facebook and just look up The Mail Room there. And hopefully we'll talk to you next time. My name's Nick Reinberger.
And my name's William Verity.
See you later.
See you later.
Let me tell you about Sky TV and broadband. You get the best of Sky TV. That's all the shows everyone's talking about, like Mayor of Easttown and Your Honour. Plus, Sky's best ever Wi-Fi with lightning-fast speeds all around your home. So fill your home with our award-winning Sky TV and ultra-fast broadband from €55 a month for 12 months. Search Sky 55. Offer ends Thursday. New Sky customers only. Availability subject to location. TV and broadband sold separately. Minimum terms and further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.